Well, we don't have a sermon title in the bulletin this week because I've managed to overlook one of the most simplistic things in web design, namely making fixed columns rather than as percentages. If that means nothing to you, let it just simply stand in as a mea culpa for making it impossible for Bev to actually read what the sermon title is. And the sermon title is The Foundation of What? In case you're so inclined to think that sermon titles are of a critical nature. And the sermon itself comes out of our Ephesians reading. As I mentioned before, we're going to be spending a little bit of time in Ephesians, so we may as well go from week to week in there. And this is a reasonably familiar passage in Ephesians, at least for most of us. I wanted to get a closer idea of what's happening in Ephesians, so among other things, as I was preparing for these next, these last few weeks and these next couple, is I wrote it out. It doesn't take very long. It's pretty short. But one of the things you find when you write things out is that the words themselves make a whole lot more of a difference. How could they not? You're actually looking at them one at a time. You're not reading in phrases. You're looking at them and you're paying attention to them in a slightly different way. And a word that struck me in a way that it never had before is cornerstone. Now, I don't know a whole lot about construction. I worked in construction for a while, but I just did what I was told, which was mainly picking that thing up and carrying it over there and putting it down. Multiply that by about 10,000, that was about all I did. So I don't know a lot about construction. I'm reasonably aware of the fact that there are such things, say, as supporting walls, and I'm pretty sure you shouldn't just knock them out for no good reason. But when it comes to a cornerstone, about all I really know about it is that it's important. And if your building has a cornerstone, or the edifice, whatever it is, has a cornerstone, and something goes wrong with it, you have a problem. It's perhaps the one thing that holds everything together. Well, that makes sense when we think of Jesus as a cornerstone of what we believe of the church itself. But as I've zeroed in on that word, and started sort of pulling back a little bit, I came across something really interesting, at least to me. And that this foundation is made up, but really, of two different things. Now, we've talked often, well, I've talked often, nobody's told me I'm crazy, so I'll probably continue doing it. I talked about how frequently the human almost necessity to put things in binaries, to put things in twos, this or that, is such a problem. And frequently it is a problem, but there are some times when it makes perfect sense. Sometimes things do break into twos. For example, the members of my family are my family, and you, well, you're not. You're members of some other family. That's not incorrect, and it doesn't lead me down strange paths. And Paul is talking about binaries here, and he begins from the very beginning, talking about these two huge groups. On the one side, you have Jews. Other side, you have everybody else. And let's face it, as binaries go, that one is perfectly accurate. It works out. And he goes on to talk about how one group understood or knew God in a way that the other group could not. And there was a wall between those two groups that was simply unbridgeable. Before Christ came, the only way you could move into that group was to become a proselyte, to become a believer, and even then you would never actually be there, because the only way to get into that group was to pick your parents well, which is hard to do. You're simply born where you're born. And it was a cultural, it was a genealogical basis for religion, as well as letting people in sometimes, but on the whole, you needed to be born in. But Paul tells us that Jesus himself is our peace. And he did this by making the two one, those two groups. Because the backstory of these two groups isn't that they just happened to be two groups that lived next to each other and there was nothing more to it than that, like a set of neighbors. There was considerable hostility between those two groups. And when you look through Scripture and you look through external to Scripture history, what you see is millennia of conflict between those two groups. And sometimes it was the Jewish part of the group, or that group, oppressing the other, and sometimes it was the other way around. But there was this almost endless hostility between the two.
And Paul says, Jesus came and destroyed that barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. And what he did is he came in and he destroyed the law with its commandments and regulations. Now, he doesn't destroy the law in the sense that it ceases to exist. But what he does is he says that the law, these regulations, these requirements, all of these things are no longer what you need to be in connection with God. And what he's saying is that in a very real sense, that when Jesus came to reconcile both of these groups to God through the cross, and that's how he put to death that hostility, there is now no longer a difference between the two. There are cultural differences, to be sure. There are family differences, of course. But when it comes to reaching out to God, Paul is saying there is no difference. Everyone is the same. Everyone has that same access. He goes on to say, and he goes on to talk about it in different ways. He says at one point there was a whole group of people that were way far away from God. And that's the non-Jews, the Gentiles, are way far away. And there's another group that was nice and close. But now everybody's just as close. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit, is how he puts it. The foundation of which Jesus is the cornerstone is a foundation made of a single material. The witness of the apostles and prophets coming together in its fullness, in its fulfillment in Christ, made a single foundation of which Christ was the cornerstone. Before that, if we want to push this construction metaphor about as far as I'm able to push it, it would have been like trying to build something out of two completely different construction materials. And I'm sure someone out there, either a congregation today or if somebody listens to the podcast or the recording later, they'll say, well, of course you can build something out of bricks and out of wood at the same time, or build it out of bricks and out of straw to get into the three little pigs. I don't know. I'm sure it's possible. But how about this? You're trying to build something out of bricks and out of the very notion of blue. I think that's about what we're talking about. Two things that are fundamentally incompatible with building together. And that's how it was until Christ came. There were fundamental incompatibilities between the people of God and everyone else. It wasn't intended that way. When you look back in the Old Testament, you'll see that God frequently says that the nation of Israel is to be a witness to everyone, to bring everyone to God. But human beings, being what human beings are, we tend to look at the world in an either-or way, in an us-them kind of way, and this is one of the places it doesn't help. And the people of God said, we're the people of God, and you're not, and that's all there is to it. Jesus came and said, no, it doesn't work that way. There are people. And they're all God's people. And I came to reconcile all people to God the Father. And he said, I'm going to do it in a weird way. I'm not going to come and change people's minds by hitting them with a stick until they agree. I'm going to take the sin of the world upon myself. I'm going to be willing to die for that sin, to take care of it forever. I'm going to come back to life. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit behind. And that Holy Spirit is what will bring us all together and then move us into relationship with God. And the way he's going to do that is through God's people. We sometimes think that God's people either ended when the nation of Israel as a theocracy, as a religious-oriented group of people, ended, whenever that might have been. And it's just kind of gone. Or sometimes we think that the people of God are people who get together in a church every Sunday morning, and if you're not in a church on Sunday morning, well, I guess you're out, which puts us back in that either-or binary, not helpful end of things. The people of God are the people who love God, who have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and are welcoming all other people. That's one of the hallmarks of people who are in the family of God. That's one of the hallmarks of the people who are empowered by this Holy Spirit, is that it is an inclusive organization rather than an exclusive organization. At least one person has characterized the church as the only club in existence that exists for people who aren't members yet.
That's a bit of an overstatement, because the church does exist for us who are members too. But there's an external and outward orientation that needs to be there. And it needs to be there, not from the sense that we're right and you're stupid, but it needs to be there from the sense that we have something that we think you would really like. We think that we have something that you need. And we want you to have what we have. And we want you to have it even more than we have, to be better than we are, because we know that we're fallen human beings. We know that we have something to learn from everyone. We know that the Holy Spirit has promised to lead us into truth. You notice that that's how that goes? The Holy Spirit will lead us into truth, lead us into all truth. It doesn't say he'll lead you into church where you'll learn the truth. Although, hopefully, you'll learn the truth sometimes in church. This people that Christ created by coming and saying there is no difference. It doesn't matter whether you were born here or there, whether your parents are from this group or from that group. In other places, Paul expands it and he says, it doesn't matter whether you're a woman or a man, whether you're a slave or free, whether you're from this part of the world or that part of the world. It doesn't matter. Are you a human being? That's all it takes. That's the edifice that Christ is the cornerstone of. The foundation in this passage is the apostles and prophets who brought the word of God and the words of God to everyone. But without that cornerstone, the foundation won't stand up. Without that cornerstone that brings it together and says that prophets made some mistakes because they were human beings, and apostles sometimes make mistakes because they're human beings. The thing that pulls these together and transcends the mistakes is the person of Jesus Christ and the person of the Holy Spirit, who is with us all. When we think of what this is a foundation of, it's so much more than this congregation. It's so much more than even the Presbyterian Church worldwide. It's so much more than anything we can name. It's the people of God who are doing what God has laid upon their hearts, which is welcoming others into the same relationship that we have. Christ is the cornerstone of the church, not a church, not even a group of churches, but the church, with a capital C. The church that transcends all of our petty denominational disagreements. The church that transcends language barriers, worship practices, transcends all of those things and zeroes into what only matters. And that's, do you know God or do you not know God? That's the cornerstone of the foundation that allows us to be who we are. To be the kind of people who, when we look at another human being, that's all we see. The church with a small c hasn't always done this well. And we apologize for that now and then, and we do probably not even as often as we should for those times when women were kept to another place in the church, where people of color were made to sit at the back. Although considering that for most Presbyterian churches, the back seats appear to be the premier ones. Maybe we were ahead of that curve, I'm not sure. The churches aren't perfect because they let people like me in. Because it's made up of human beings who are figuring out what this means. The churches make mistakes. But it's because we're in pursuit of the church. Of that great inclusive hug that God wants to give us all. And Jesus is the cornerstone of the foundation of that building. And without that cornerstone, the building can't stand. Without the foundation of the words of the apostles and prophets, the building can't stand. But Paul reminds us that we have those. We have that cornerstone. And we have that foundation. And from that, we can be a church in which We don't care where you came from. We don't care how much money you have or how little money you have. We don't care what your job is or even if you have a job at all. We're interested in how we can help you know God better. Maybe introduce you to him for the first time, but certainly to help you know him better. And we do that through inviting people into this space, and when people get in here, by welcoming them. We do it by being the kind of people external to this place who treat people just as if they were here. As I was thinking of this message, and as I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, this could easily come across as some kind of a, well, you people at St. Mark's, what's wrong with you? And there's nothing further from the case, by the way. This is a wonderfully welcoming church. So I've seen with my own two eyes as you've let my daughters come and be themselves here. Sometimes it's a little more extravagant than others. And I've seen you welcome people of all kinds here. It's one of the ways that we do what we're called to do the best, by being hospitable and welcoming, and I'm glad to see it every Sunday that I do. This isn't a message of rebuke, it's a reminder of who we are. It's a reminder that what we're doing is exactly what we should be doing. By being open, welcoming people in this place, on these Sunday mornings, and in our own lives, wherever that takes us during the week. The foundation of what? The foundation of who we are. Of who we are in God, and of what we've been called to be here in this world. Never forget that we have a cornerstone that broke down all those barriers. They simply don't exist as far as God's concerned, so who are we to make them again? As we welcome any and all into that relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit that gives such meaning to our lives, we want to share it with anyone. Amen.